Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
All right, I'm going to start off a little different, if that's all right with you. I mean, you kind of have to do it anyway because I'm up here and I have the microphone. I mean, you don't have to do it, but like, you know, you have to. Okay. Just for a second, and no one's going to attack you while you close your eyes, but just close your eyes for just a second. And I want you just to focus on taking a breath. There's a line in the song that we sang in the middle. It said, "It is your breath in our lungs." And I just want us to be reminded before we even get in the word this morning that we're living and breathing right now by the will of God. And his presence is here with us. And so for just a second, just acknowledge that you aren't in control of everything and that he has the power to do what he wills and purposes for us. Oh, all right. You can open your eyes. So today, I'm going to be in 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. The title of this section is "The God of All Comfort." And I know the reality is that lots of us in here are struggling with life and pressures. Everyone here comes carrying some kind of weight. It may be a little weight, it may be a big weight, it may be a crippling weight. Stress at work, family tension, health issues, unanswered prayers. Some of us hide it well. Some of us put on a smile and walk around and everybody thinks, man, they're doing great. And many of those aren't doing great. Many of those are hiding from themselves. And honestly, you're hiding from the moment that God may do something with you when you come to terms with that. Deep down, we all know how it feels to be stretched thin. The real question this morning is, when life squeezes us, where do we turn for strength? Where do we turn for comfort? Today, we're going to talk about a God who doesn't leave us alone in our weakness, that isn't afraid of our weakness. And even later on, one of my favorite sections in 2 Corinthians verse 12, or chapter 12, Paul has this thorn in his flesh. He's overwhelmed. He's praying that God would remove it. And God just says, "My grace is sufficient for you." And then Paul says that "I'll boast all the more in my weakness so that your power will be made manifest in my life." And honestly, if you want to experience a little of God's power, one thing that you can do is begin to acknowledge your need for it. It's hard for God to give you strength when you're telling him and others that "I'm strong enough, that I got this." All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've established before I picked the topic today, before I did all this research, before I prepared this sermon, that you laid a foundation for us in your word. And so, Lord, as your word is taught, I pray that we would listen to it and our lives would be better because we look for comfort in the right person and in the right place. So, Lord, would you open our hearts and our minds to receive from you what your word declares to us. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the second letter to the Corinthians that we have. There are at least one other letter that's made reference in here. But Paul is writing this letter to a church in Corinth, same church that we had in 1 Corinthians. In after their season of tension and difficulty, his first letter in 1 Corinthians addressed serious problems in the church, divisions, immorality, pride. And after that, Paul makes a painful visit. He comes there in person, and it was not a great visit. And then he sent a severe letter that is now lost. We don't have but there's reference to it, to correct them. And by the time 2 Corinthians, what we're going to be in today, is written, many had repented and renewed their loyalty to Paul. But some are still questioning Paul's authority and criticizing him because he's suffering. There's this thing that was going on in when this letter was written that goes on today. If you're struggling, if things aren't going well, a lot of people look at you and go, what's wrong with you? Like, oh, they deserve this, or you know, whatever. We have just like the early church, we have this ideal that if you're suffering, if things aren't going well, then you've sinned or you've done something and God's just whooping you. God's putting you in the corner. And that's not always the case. I mean, Paul's writing this after being imprisoned, after being tortured, and they're like, man, we don't like this guy, not because of what he says or who he talks about, but because of his life. We're struggling with the reality of Paul, or they're struggling with the reality of Paul because he had exposed weaknesses. Love me some babies now. Hey, I'm telling you what, church, we want that noise. We want it, and if you're unfamiliar or new at Reach, we care about that little cry. They're, what happens in this section where you check your kids in, it is not just watching your kids so you can come in here. They're hearing the gospel. You know, they're worshiping. They're doing all these things, and we've got to invest in that, because if we don't, we'll become like a lot of churches that we exist with just a bunch of seasoned people. You got to be careful. And just like Titus, we need all of those. We need all the gray hairs and all the seasoned, and we need the little ones. And we need to all be chasing after the same God that works in and through all of us. So we're going to start with 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. So verse 3 reads, "Bless be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Paul begins this letter with praise, not a complaint. And we've talked about this a little bit over the last few months, more specifically with this message that I brought during our pastor swap in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you." Praise is important. And this isn't ignoring what's going on. This is acknowledging. Paul isn't just praising, like, thank the Lord that I'm still alive, that my life is falling apart. He acknowledges these things. God, blessed be God, which is a phrase used a lot in the Old Testament, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. In the Greco-Roman thought, the people that he was writing this to, gods were often seen as distant and indifferent. They didn't care about their people. You had to sacrifice and appease them so that they would be happy with you, but they didn't really care. They weren't personal. Paul wanted to emphasize at the beginning of this letter to make sure that they understood that God was merciful and near, countering the cultural thought of the people that he was writing this to. "Blessed be the God" is a call to worship even in affliction. Our ability to praise in spite of what's going on will set our heart and attention on the right source. Because if we set our heart and attention on just complaining about what's not going right, then what do? Our heart and mind is fixed on this one piece, the piece that can't help us, the piece that makes us feel like things are out of control. We need to learn to praise. The Father of all mercy shows that mercy is not an occasional act of God, but it is his essence. He is the Father of mercies. And this comfort literally means to come alongside of and to strengthen. God of all comfort literally means a God who leaves no type of trials outside of his reach, of all comfort. Some of us may be struggling with things that we're like, I don't see where God's at in this, or I'm not sure God wants to interact with me after this, or whatever. And I think this verse makes it clear that God isn't excluding things from his ability to bring comfort. And remember, in John 15, 26, the Holy Spirit, who Jesus himself said, it is a benefit that I leave so that the helper or comforter comes. This is who God is. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God's comfort comes in tribulation, not merely after it. That's why we want to, like Paul started off with the praise, if we're going through things, our eyes and our intentions need to be placed on the Father who can bring comfort. The phrase, any affliction, shows that there is no category of suffering outside of the reach of God's ability to bring comfort. And I've said this a lot, and sometimes people don't like it. I don't think God ever does anything beneficial for you that he doesn't intend for you to use to help other people. And I get it from this verse right here, who comforts us in our affliction. Why does he comfort us? You know, it is comforting to us so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. The worst part of this is some of you have struggled, suffered, endured things that were horrible, that are still painful to you. But the benefit of it is your experience there gives you the ability to speak into someone's life in a way that someone that hasn't experienced that same thing wouldn't have. As a youth pastor, it was beneficial for me as a kid that had gone through lots of things, a product of, you know, a kid where parents got divorced. I wasn't a huge fan of that. It was a struggle. But I got to sit across from kids that were going through that same thing and speak into their lives of the things that God can do. God brings suffering or allows suffering. God brings comfort, and then ministry happens. This is the pattern. What you receive in trials, you pass on in ministry. And some of you go be like, well, I didn't sign up for ministry. Let me just tell you, if you said yes to Jesus, you signed up for ministry. You may not have a title. You might not get a lanyard one day. Orange. It says staff and elders. But that doesn't mean that God hasn't called you to a ministry that may be more effective than the one that we have. Your record may be better than ours, meaning your effectiveness may be greater because God has a specific use for you. Verse 5, for as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Along with the abundant suffering, we get an abundant comfort. One of the commentaries that I read, Wiersbe is his name, often points out that abundant comfort is never outmatched by abundant suffering. God's grace always overflows beyond the pain when we allow it. See, if we sit on the outside going, I can fix my own issues, I'm going to make it, I'm going to redeem whatever, I'm going to, you know, I don't need, we're not saying this, but we don't search him out. We're saying ultimately, I don't need God, I've got this. And I think God is always saying to us that my level of comfort to you is always available. If you come to me, Matthew 11, 28, come to me all you weary and heavy laden and I will give you rest. Like this idea of him giving this yoke. He doesn't remove everything from us, but he gives us what we need. Verse 6. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, It is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same suffering that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our suffering, you will also share in our comfort. See, Paul sees afflictions not as meaningless. The worst thing that we can do is going, there's pain, and it had no value to my life. And sometimes it's so painful that you don't want anything from it. You don't want to look at it again. You don't want to deal with it. But I'm just telling you, there is pain always has a purpose. Whether afflicted or comforted, the result for the Corinthians was comfort and salvation. And Paul was saying, if I got to suffer, I will suffer. And if things are great and the gospel is moving forward, both of them are beneficial for you. Don't get so lost in your suffering that you forget God is still present and working. And remember that your current suffering isn't the end. I love the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. Love it. Every year in the one-year Bible, when we get to those like 16, 17 chapters of the life of Joseph, I'm just like, I'm overwhelmed. And almost every time that we get to the end when he has that moment with his brothers and he breaks down, like almost every year I get emotional because I would be so angry. Like, I would be like, they're going to get, like, I'm going to wear them out. They're going to pay this. And this is how we know God is working and moving in the life of people, because Joseph deserved his ability or had a right to then punish his brothers that tried to kill him, sold him into slavery, cast him out just because they were jealous of him. And in the world, he had a right, but he forfeited that right for them. Because he loved them. God had done so much in the middle. And this is what I want to say with this. And what I love about the story of Joseph, it is the middle that makes the end. You will never get to the end of the story without the middle. But a lot of times we get in the middle of the story and we're like, we don't see an end. We see no ability for God to redeem and glorify himself in this situation. And the one thing that I think Paul's saying and what I would tell you is don't get stuck in the middle where you forget God's ability to rescue and redeem you even through this. And some of you are there. Some of you are like, I don't know where this is going. You had barely enough faith to walk in the door this morning. And you're like, I don't know how God can redeem the story that's going on. And let me just tell you, if you're hoping that I can give you a booklet that's going to explain everything, I don't and I cannot. But I will tell you, and we'll see this as some promises that Paul writes. We'll see that God gives hope in our past, he gives hope in our present, and he gives hope for our future. Paul wasn't the only one that was thinking this way. Listen to the words of Peter in 1 Peter 4, verse 12. It says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." How many times you're like, what is going on? Why? But rejoice. Like, this is crazy. This is the same thing in the 1 Thessalonians, but rejoice in spite of. Rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Let me just tell you, you've got to walk through the middle to get to the revelation for him, his revealed plan. And I don't know how many sections of my life that I've been like, I never want to repeat that, but I get on the other side of it, I'm like, there you were, God. And all he's asking of us, and I think all Paul is saying to the church here, is hang in there and look for the comfort that God is bringing. See, Paul is getting ready to make sure that the readers know that this isn't just a theory, but this is personal experience. One of the things, you know, that we tell people, oh, you should do something. You should do this. And sometimes we tell them to do things that we ourselves won't do. We're like, oh, yeah, you should do this. And we'll give advice because it's good advice, but it's advice that we don't take ourselves. And it's hard sometimes to listen to somebody when you realize that they've not been through, they don't understand, but they're just telling you some thing that probably when it happened to them, they're not going to do the advice that they just gave you. And Paul is telling them all this stuff, and then he's going to give them some information that's going to bring clarity to him, that he is a man, that the advice that he's giving is things that he has been through. Verse 8, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of our affliction we experienced in Asia. Asia is modern-day Turkey. This is most likely things that happened in and around the Ephesus. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Have you ever felt this way? Have you ever felt at the end of your rope, and I don't see how life can get any better, and you're despairing unto death? How grateful are we that our word, the Bible, doesn't cover up the mess? I mean, I think this all the time. Every time, you know, for those that are interested in apologetics, this is things that you should know. You should know that if the Bible was some false document being written, a lot of what we have in it wouldn't be there. Like, who tells stories to people and gives the dirty parts of the story? Do you do it? Like, when you're telling the story of something, no, you give all the highlights, you give all the times that you succeeded and did great things, and people are like, oh, great job. You don't go like, man, I fell on my, I do. My dad did come to hear one of my sermons. I mean, he's heard several of my sermons, but one day he left, and we were talking afterwards, and he's like, can I give you a piece of advice? And you know, if your dad's going to give you advice, he's not asking permission. He's just telling you that he's getting ready to do it. And so he did it. And we were talking. He was like, you share too much. And I was like, sorry. Like, I got no other. Like, it's either on or off. I can't do it. But I'm grateful that we have Paul saying, here's a man that was called by God. We're not questioning his call. We're not questioning that God sent him on this mission. In the middle of this mission that God called him to, he's suffering horribly to the point that he despairs of life itself. Because if that wasn't there, when this happens to you and at some point in your life, you're going to face something that you're going to experience something to this level. And you need to know, what do I do with this? What do I do when I get to that place where, like, I feel like we've received a death sentence? Maybe it's a diagnosis, maybe it's something that happens in your life, maybe it's a loss of a job, maybe it's a loss of a family member. There are things that happen that we are going to be like, I don't understand and I don't know why this is happening. And I'm grateful that we have moments for Paul in the middle of this where he's saying, I despaired unto life. And he said, this happened to make us rely not on ourselves, but on the God, on God who raises the dead. Paul was living out his own advice. Paul was doing what he's advising people to do. So where do you go? Where you go when you feel this way matters. What you do in these moments matter. Because there's lots of things that saying, come to me. It could be the bottle, alcohol. I'm like, what bottle? Parents are like, the bottle? Yes. It could be pornography. It could be TV. It could be people. Like, I just need to be distracted. There could be so many things that we run to that give us comfort in the moment that don't fix our issues. So where we go matters. And Paul is pointing them to the direction over and over again. And Paul reminds them of two things. One, it is better to trust or rely on the Lord instead of yourself. Okay, let's be real honest. I'm going to try to make as much eye contact as I can all around the room. The worst enemy that you have is you. It's not outside. You're like, no, come on. Let's be real honest. Most of the trouble that I've gotten into, I want to blame other people, but it is me. this person inside of me that's like, that is a good idea. And then I'm like, that was a bad idea. I shouldn't have. So he's saying, it is better to trust and rely on God than yourself. Two, he's saying, if God raises the dead, there isn't anything that he can't do. There's nothing as far gone as death. And he's pointing out that we've learned to trust the God who even raises the dead. So whatever you're at, and let me just tell you, like some people in this room are going to say a 4-second prayer and think God's going to give you everything that you want to fix everything that's going wrong in your life. And I don't think we have a God that does that. We have a God that does exactly what you need in this moment. Because look, let me just tell you, some people may think, you know, this thing will fix me and resolve all my issues if this thing happens. Like if I got $1.8 billion, like I'm telling you, it would be, honestly, it'd probably be the worst thing that happened to anybody in this room. But if it does happen to you, we are building a building and we would love your donation. I mean, like what is a couple of million dollars when you get like almost a billion? Nothing. I mean, and we're 501c3, nonprofit. You can get a write-off. Sorry. God raises the dead, and you want what he gives you more than what the world is offering you. You want the resurrection that he offers. And sometimes that's slow and steady. Sometimes that is like Paul, when he had that thorn in his flesh. My grace is sufficient for you. Sometimes it's not a deliverance. It's an acknowledgement that I'm still good. That my grace is still sufficient for what you're going through. Verse 10. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. And this is something that we don't do a lot of, and I'm not a language guy, but tenses matter. And sometimes we miss that. And let me read this again. He delivered, past tense, for us this deadly peril, and he will deliver, present tense. On him we have cast our hope that he will deliver us again, future. Past deliverance fuels present faith and future hope. You know what the enemy wants to do to you is have you forget the times that God has redeemed, have God has restored, and God has done a miraculous, because you think in this moment, because that's what he's saying, we got to look to our past, and we talked about this last week. We got to look to our past so we learn from it, and one of the things that we learn, we see God move in the past, and we trust that he will do it in the present. And then we trust that he's going to do it again. God's faithfulness is consistent. He will do it again. And then verse 11. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Don Bernard. Give me some amen right here, because this is united prayer right here. This is Paul begins with praise, and he ends this section with prayer. United prayer changes things. What are you praying for? What are you asking God for? I have some things that are on my list, and I'm a creature that I need to be reminded to pray. Maybe that's bad, and you're like, why do we have a pastor that needs to be reminded to prayer? Pray, because life is busy. And I have this little app that reminds me every day. I have these 6 things that I'm praying for that are on my list that I have to hit a little button so that I can accomplish that task, and I love tasks. And all I'm saying, and what he's asking, he's saying, hey, we need your prayer. And one of the things that we started in January, and we've been asking for prayer from you guys, is we want to see people get saved. That's why we're here. That's why I'm super excited about this Kingdom Conversation class. If you've not signed up for, you can. Because there is nothing better you can give your time to than learning to share the Word of God, learning to share your life so that people can know Jesus, so they can make commitments to Him by getting baptized, so they can become part of this kingdom family that's going on. Another thing that we've been asking for is this kingdom advancement, not just through salvation, but like God's foothold here in this county be moved forward. And selfishly, yes, we're going to build a building in Jesus' name. And if you don't know this and you're totally new to our church, if you take this road down to the stop sign and you take a right, your next left is this road. And I'm sorry that our church is going to be on this, this drive, but it is. Maybe we'll change it. Division Drive. But there's a large grass field that we're going to build a church on, Lord willing. If we don't build it there, we will build it somewhere. But we're moving in that direction. We've hired an architect. We've got a civil engineer. And we're working out details. And we need prayer for God's provision, not only financially, but just literal vision for what God's going to do when we open the doors. So here's a summary of what we've went through. Verse 3 and 4, God is the source of your comfort. If you need to be comforted, if you want real comfort, not momentary comfort, if you want real comfort, God is the source. Verses 5 and 7, suffering and comfort are both purposeful and communal. There's no pain that doesn't have purpose if you allow it. Now, you can just allow it to be pain and get no purpose from it. And I think what we've read from this text is God saying, hey, let's use this, allow Him to comfort us in this suffering so that we can share that. And then it's also communal. Our suffering, there are people here that need you, your experience, what you've gone through, so that you can stand with them during their times of trials. And you don't know that, because if you come in here on Sunday morning and everybody looks fine and like, oh, no one needs me, there's so much need in here. And one of the ways that you get in people's life to figure out what people need is doing community with them through community groups. Imagine that. This is the last week that you can sign up for those groups. You might be able to do them online afterwards. But let's just assume this is the last week and you need to put your name on one of those things right there. verses 8 and 9, Paul testifies of despair, teaches reliance on God alone. Verse 10, God delivers in the past, in the present, and will do it in the future. In verse 11, the church partners in this deliverance through prayer and thanksgiving. So what are some of the things that you can do? I'm going to invite our worship team back up. I'm going to give you a gift. We typically go until 10:15 if you're new here. So I'm going to give you a gift today. I'm finishing a little early. And we're going to have a song. At the end of that song, you're going to have plenty of time to check out all the sign-ups and potentially sign up for one. And I do this every now and again. My challenge to you, especially Reach people, like if you know this is home and this is church, look around this room. Don't do it right now. Don't do it right now because they'll be like, they're coming for me. But look around this room. If there's someone that you don't know here today, go say hello to them. You don't know, and church, do this every Sunday. Look around the room. If you're like, I don't know who this is. I've never seen this person before. I need to go say hello. Go say hello. You have no idea what God may do with a little conversation. You may have no idea what this person may need, and this little conversation may lead to you walking out some of the stuff that we've done today. My gift to you. You don't have to do it. You're not going to be graded on this. Maybe God will grade you. I'm not going to grade you. Sorry. I'm not going to. I remove that shame from you. Please just do it. So here's some applications for today. Start with worship and praise. Put God in the right place and your pain in its right place. If you're struggling, don't let pain have the dominant seat in your life that you're constantly looking, ask, praise God in spite of. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. If that's a place that you're at, I encourage you, write that down, write those out, and memorize that verse. Give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. 2, don't waste your pain. What pain have you experienced and received comfort from the Father? You can show that same comfort to someone else. There are things going on here in this room that people need the deliverance that you had in your pain to speak life into them. They need to hear it from someone. And so you need to use that pain. 3, live in the past, present, and future hope. He will do it again. Where is your hope placed? And the last thing, help us by praying. We want to see people get saved in this building and outside of this building, Kingdom Conversations. We want to see the kingdom advanced, not just at Reach. This is why we pray for other churches every Sunday. We want to see God move in this city and all of the gospel-centered communities that are here. And we want a home that isn't here. We love this place, but we want a home. And for all those that are like, amen, just say your amens with a check when we're ready for it, okay? So, just being honest. If you'll stand up, I'm going to speak a blessing over you. We do this every Sunday if you're new here. And then I'm going to pray for us and we're going to worship. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, you know exactly what we need. Lord, we don't have to speak that pain that we're experiencing. We don't have to speak the suffering because you know. Lord, the only thing we have to do is to go to the right place. And so, Lord, I pray over those in this room that are in the middle of a struggle that no one knows about, Lord, that they would be brave and find someone just to say, this is what's going on. Would you pray with me? Can you stand with me? Can you help me walk through this? Lord, show us. Lord, I pray that we would, for those in this room also that have been through a lot, and they've seen your deliverance, they've seen and experienced your comfort, Lord, I pray that you would enable them to be your mouthpiece that speaks hope into others' lives. Because the hope that they have experienced, Lord, would they be allowed, would they be bold enough to share that same hope? And Lord, I pray for those in this room that may feel distant from you, feel so far off, Lord. They've not even thought of looking to God for comfort. Lord, I pray that this moment right now that you would give them the revelation that you've always been a God who pursues. From the beginning of the fall, you were the one that went after Adam and Eve. And you've been the one that has chased after us. And so for those in this room, Lord, I pray that they would know that you loved them so much that you sent your Son here to live the life that we could never live, sinless and pure. And he went willingly to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. We have been purchased with a price. Lord, let us receive that today. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you that you've given us one more opportunity to worship together, one more opportunity to hear your word. Lord, let us take full advantage of what you want to do in us and through us. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.